The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Peter Wicks, oh how I've missed you, and it's only been a week.
Cece Coleman, I love you.
That was half. I honestly really missed you. I don't like having a week off. Let's not do that again.
No, it's the most ridiculous idea.
For those of you wondering why we had a week off, I mean, it's all good. We can laugh about it now, but our producer got run over.
She's fine, FYI.
She's absolutely fine. So an hour before we were due to start, that's why we've had a week off. But we are back and she's not dead, so everything's fine in the world.
Wow, what a way to start. This is FUBAR Radio. This is The Dating Show. My name is Cece Coleman. And this is the lovely...
I'm Pete. Oh, sorry, I thought you were doing the whole thing. I was really enjoying it. I was waiting for a big intro there. I'm Pete.
You weren't expecting me to say something nice, were you? You were waiting for like an insult or a dig.
I was like, I'm the lovely Cece Coleman and this is that wanker from Towie.
This week, we are talking about mental health because it is Mental Health Awareness Week. And our guest is going to be Callum Best.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The legend. So we're going to be talking to him in a little bit. But before we do that, we always like to start with some lots of fun things. Pete, talk to me this week.
So, you know, every week I've been doing my little educating the people, educating you, educating the listeners. And this week is no different. All right. So on the dating sex book this week, we have sex interview. Any ideas? Cece, what that is?
So I'll guess what I think a sex interview is I imagine it's a bit like going on a dating app when you're sort of trying to work out whether you want to be with someone or not. You interview them. It's not the nicest term, but I imagine a sex interview is the same thing. You're just trying to work out whether you're going to have sexual intercourse or not.
You are absolutely 100% wrong.
Oh, off you go. Then.
But I really enjoyed that little dance.
Okay.
So a sex interview is when you have had sex with someone before you go on a date.
Right.
So effectively, have you ever done this? Have you ever had sex with someone before you've been on a real date with them?
So you basically mean a one night stand, right? Well, it wouldn't be a one night stand then, would it?
Well, exactly.
Hang on, so now you're asking for a...
So,
I can't reveal these things, Peter.
You can reveal these things. Why are you butter at the... you can reveal these things. I've done it. So basically...
Oh, surprise, surprise. Go on.
In 2015, researchers coined the term to describe the practice which is increasingly popular among millennials who are less shy about sex and more interested in weeding out compatible lovers. If you have high standards for sex, it makes a lot of sense. The possibility of developing real intimacy and chemistry with someone only to discover you're nothing alike in bed is a real turn on, which I completely agree with. You can have the best time with someone, and then when it comes down to
the thing,
it's shit. At least this way you get that out the way and then work out whether you like them.
So how do you meet these people? Is this like in a bar vibe or is
this... It could be in a bar. It could be, one night stands, whatever it may be. I don't suppose you're on dating apps going, listen, shall we fuck first and then discover whether we like each other after? I imagine it's mainly one night stands you potentially want to see again. You've basically done the bit that people generally work up for. You know, when do I have sex with them? Three dates? Is it this? Is it that? You've worked out, listen, that was a good fuck.
Yeah.
I'll see you again. And I want to find out if you have got the personality to match it. So it's called a sex interview. So you basically, rather than the whole, like you do on the first date, what's your favourite colour and all that shit, you're basically seeing, do you like me cock? I like your zits.
It sounds fascinating. It sounds brilliant. But what I will say to that is, if you, like, okay, how many times do you think that you've had sex and the first time... I'm wording that. I'm basically asking how many times you've had sex. How many times do you think that... what am I trying to say? The first time you have sex with somebody is, for me, okay, usually isn't the best because everyone's performing. I think I'm a porn star. They think they're a porn star. And then when you get to actually know the person, you're like, oh, now we can ask each other what each other likes. We know each other a bit better and the chemistry is built.
Yes.
So you're kind of... Wouldn't you just... I mean, do you feel the same, firstly?
The first time you have sex, someone is not always the best, but what you can determine from that is whether you have that fire. The chemistry and the passion type of thing is something you either got or you haven't with someone.
I believe you can build upon it, and obviously when you start exploring each other's bodies and doing all that stuff that you do later on in the thing, then the sex does get better. But that initial attraction when you want to rip someone's clothes off and you've got that sexual chemistry, even the way you kiss someone, whatever it may be, that I think you're either compatible or you're not.
I'm so on the fence with this, because I think it's built with knowing someone. I feel like it's built, but at the same time, I'm just thinking of all these nervous boys, you know, the nervous ones out there that can't quite.
But you've just said it there. If they're nervous, then they're boys.
Okay, let's move on.
Men don't get nervous.
I was going to say, I'm showing up all my my catalogue of...
Effectively, Cece, what we've learned from this is that you should stop fucking nervous boys. So should we move on to the weird and wonderful date news?
Yeah, let's take the attention off me.
So, I love it when the attention's on you, I've got to say. And also, we've done the hat thing again.
We've done the hat thing, and I've also realised that I'm going as red as my top. So that was an error in clothing choice today. So, weird and wonderful dating news. I'm going to start with our top story. So,
I love this one.
Do you? Okay. So, my girlfriend asked me to sleep with her twin sister, and I don't know what to do.
Do it.
A 23-year-old. God, I mean, if you were 23 being asked this, a 23-year-old guy was approached by his girlfriend of 2 years, asking to have sex with her identical twin. The twin sister had recently broken up with a boyfriend of a year and after he was cheating on her with his ex. The guy's girlfriend said that his sister had become depressed. Oh, sorry. Yeah, the guy's girlfriend said that his sister had become depressed and her self-esteem was low. So her sister already, I can't get my words out today. She said her sister already had a crush on him, and that's why I can't get it out today.
So, sister already had a crush on him, and that's why he's the only guy that he would put, or she would put her trust in him, basically, to sleep with sister.
Right, I get it, okay.
She didn't want her sister to get hurt again, so she's like, I'll tell you what, I'll let you borrow me boyfriend, he'll show you a good time, do you know what I mean? Keep it in the family, happy days. His girlfriend was begging him to do it, but he couldn't believe what he was hearing, so he took to Reddit, because that's the place you go for great advice, but in the end decided he couldn't go through with it. His girlfriend also admitted that she's ashamed of asking him and was 100% sure she doesn't want to share him with anyone.
Good.
Good. That's the answer we wanted in the end. As delightful as a man, as delightful as that sounds...
What is it then? What is it, just the fantasy of it? Is that why it's appealing?
It's not necessarily fantasy. It's just one of them things, isn't it? It's like a bit of a bucket, like sleeping with sisters, do you know what I mean? Especially twins. Like, it's just one of them like fantasy things that just doesn't happen. But actually, when it comes down to it, if you're actually dating one of them twins and then she says sleep, I would be like, absolutely not. Are you mental?
Yeah.
For me, I'm glad she said at the end she 100% doesn't want to share him, because to me that sounds like she doesn't give a shit. I completely get she might trust him and whatever else, but is it just a bit weird? I mean, imagine they got married, right? And then at Christmas, do you know what? Let's call sister one Jenny and let's call sister two Penny. So imagine just sitting there. Jenny, pass the roast potatoes. Penny, would you like some of my potatoes? You've had them before. Do you know what I mean? That sort of thing.
Oh, no.
It's weird.
I mean, it's like, how far do you go to support your family?
Yeah.
Lend them your boyfriend.
Yeah, how far do you go to support your girlfriend? Fuck her sister. I just think it's... Do you know what? I mean, what happens if her mum gets depressed? I mean, she's going to be a nightmare if daddy...
Oh, my God. Says,
listen, I'm a bit depressed. Don't worry, you can borrow Dave. He'll show you a good time and give you a good nosh. You can't pimp out your boyfriend to your family.
No, absolutely not.
So, and well played to him for actually not going through with it, because I think most blokes in their head would go, yeah, fuck me, yeah, I'll do that.
Well, that's what I mean. At 23, I'd expect, you know, a slightly different response, but maybe he's got some decency.
I don't want to, prematurely imagine or give my opinion on their relationship, but I've got a feeling they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
All I'm saying.
You might be right there.
Right, so we've got some really good ones this week, but I'm going to go with the next one because I feel like, Cece, you're a bit of a Sherlock Holmes, and I just have a feeling this is something you would do.
Okay.
So a woman catches her boyfriend cheating after spotting his finger in another woman's picture. TikTok user Molly from the West Midlands uploaded a video responding to the trend, what is the craziest way you have found out somebody was cheating? Molly said her boyfriend had told her he was going out with the lads. standard. Molly claims she was sitting at home while he was out scrolling through Instagram when he saw a girl's Instagram story of her being out for dinner. In the picture, you could see her meal, the other person's meal, and the finger of the other person holding a drink.
Wow.
He said it looked suspiciously like her boyfriend's finger. So she interrogated him, but he was adamant it wasn't him. She said he called her crazy and stupid for suggesting such a thing, but she wasn't ready to let it go. So she messaged the girl, and it turns out it was him. He then insisted they were just friends and that she had nothing to worry about. Unsurprisingly, they broke up within a month.
I mean, it sounds odd, but I reckon I could spot a finger.
Sorry?
I reckon I could spot a finger. I mean, like... You know, imagine he's tattooed. Imagine his hands are like yours, right?
Listen,
that's obvious.
Yeah, it's obviously going to be my fingers. So when I'm out with women I shouldn't be out with, I wear gloves. because I know there is a lot of fucking finger spotters out there. And I just don't want to get caught out. So I wear latex gloves out everywhere.
Oh, what a look.
If he hasn't got tattoos, then that is some fucking eagle eye shit she's doing there.
Well, I quite like the way she said that she was just scrolling through Instagram, as we all do. We're like, oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, I wouldn't stalk him. She clearly was.
Yeah.
But she was right. So she obviously was stalking because she had an inkling, and that inkling turned out to be truth.
Cece, what is the, have you ever caught a boyfriend out or a guy you're seeing out?
Oh, loads, yeah.
Oh, I just knew it. I just fucking knew it. Come on then, Sherlock, tell us about it. What is the best...
tell you about one thing. Oh, so I've got the sock on.
Is that underwear?
That's the sock.
Oh, sorry.
That's my sock. So I remember going to my ex's house, and there was a glass on the side. Yeah, like however many. I was 28. And there was a glass on the side, and it had lipstick around the rim. It's a glass just like yours, actually. See-through glass, yeah. And I remember looking at it thinking, look, don't blow your trumpet. Like, and it wasn't bright lipstick. It could have almost been lip balm. And I knew he wore lip balm. But I thought, when does he drink? Anyway, so as we do as women, we keep it to ourselves. And then we bring it up at the wrong time, obviously. So I brought it up and I said, there's a glass. It's not yours. The lips are not your shape. And he made up this incredible story and said that his brother was cheating on his missus. So he had another go around, and that's whose the lipstick it was. So it's his brother's bit on the side where he was upstairs. Yeah, yeah. And you sort of believe it in the moment, but no, after lots of Instagram scrolling, and actually it was Facebook back then. It was the Facebook thing that got it for me, and I figured it out where he was tagging himself. I figured out he was a cheater.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I think I'm just completely and utterly naive. I don't think I've ever been cheated on. I don't know. I've never really found out that I have or kind of looked for it, if you like. But
this is it. If you look for it, you'll find it.
I completely and utterly agree with that.
I'm not saying that everyone cheats, but if you're looking, if you've got an inkling, you're going to, intuition, if it's speaking to you, listen to it and find it.
Okay. All right. I think a lot of women will probably relate to, not just women, men as well, actually. I think a lot of people relate to the finger in the picture story, because I have heard things like that a number of times before.
Yes.
But this is just the Instagram world that we live in, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I battle with it, honestly. It's a mind game. I think I feel lucky that I didn't grow up when Instagram kicked off. Like, I was sort of at that
point. We were the MySpace days, babe.
MySpace. Wow. I feel old. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Right, guys, you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio with myself and Seasick. That was very radio-like. I just did that, wasn't it?
You did.
And we've got Cannon Best this week, who's going to come on as a guest in a little bit. But our topic this week is Mental Health Awareness Week. Seasick, yes. Take it away.
So I was going to just read a little bit about mental health and what Mental Health Awareness Week is, because those two words together is a bit like, oh, what does that even mean? It's such a big subject. It's an umbrella, isn't it, of loads of mini things. So Mental Health Week is an annual event which provides the UK an opportunity to focus on achieving good mental health. This year, it'll be running from the 10th to 16th of May. So it is about starting conversations about mental health and the things in our daily lives that can affect us. This year's theme is nature, because it's known to be an effective way of tackling mental health problems and protecting our well-being. So have you ever felt that when you've been maybe in like walking on grass barefoot, or walking on the sand, or being hearing the birds tweet, how it can immediately relax you or make you feel at ease or calm? You're nodding.
100%. I love nature. I'm a bit of an outdoors person. For me, I ride motorbikes. One of my favourite things to do to clear my head is either drive down to the coast, mm-hmm. being by the water, having that bit of free time to myself, wind in the air, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy camping in forests. So,
do you really?
Forests are probably one of my favourite places in the entire world, because nothing makes you feel more small, and it kind mm-hmm. of reduces, it kind of makes me think my problems are less, if that makes mm-hmm. sense, because there's such a big world out there. If you ever spent any time in a forest when there's just surrounded by massive, massive trees, you can hear little bits of everything everywhere. It just makes you feel like you're part of something bigger. And I love that feeling, because I think it puts things into perspective.
Have you ever hugged a tree?
Yes.
I'm glad you said yes, because I was thinking he's either going to take the piss or he's going to say yes.
No, I've done it. I still take the piss because it sounds fucking ridiculous. And anyone listening to this is probably thinking, what the fuck? Do it. I've also hugged a cow. Cows are beautiful to hug.
You are so right, yeah.
As are pigs and chickens. You've never felt love until you felt the love of a chicken.
Have you ever rode an ostrich?
No.
I have. FYI, just drop that one in there. And I mean, literally, I've sat on its back and ridden it. It's gone round and round and round and round. I wouldn't say it was naturistic, if that's even a word, or you get a pleasant feeling from it, but it's very fun.
Okay.
So, back to cows.
Yeah, so, and nature, I think, for a lot of people, even going for a walk, I think it's quite a common thing, actually. And it's the first time anyone's really spoken about it, I think. Like, it's the first time it's been brought up, but I think it's quite a common thing for people to enjoy being out in nature, to help clear your mind and put things into perspective a little bit. I think that's quite, a lot of people probably have the same sort of thing, especially living in a city as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think getting out a little bit kind of always makes people kind of think, oh, it's mm-hmm. like a bit of a release, isn't it?
Have you ever been in a relationship where the person you're with has suffered mentally with whatever type of issue it's been? And if so, how has that impacted you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a fair bit of mental health in my family. I've been around that kind of a lot of my life, really. And the problem is, it's such it's one of them subjects that's really hard to talk about, because it's so objective and specific to each individual person. Mm-hmm. I know there's lots of names and terms for different things, but it's not a one, you know, when you talk about depression, it's not like depression is one thing that everyone suffers in the same way and everyone deals with it in the same way. It's so objective and specific to the person that I don't think there is a specific way to deal with it as a whole. Mm-hmm. Each person and each situation needs to find a way to battle and fight those feelings themselves. And I think one of the most important things you can do if you are around people that do suffer with mental health is just to be there. And let people do things the way that they need to do things. You can't help someone unless they're willing to help themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I genuinely believe in. I think just being there and supporting people is enough, and then facilitating them to do the things that they think will make them feel better. Obviously mm-hmm. suggesting different things, like going, you know, for walks, and you know, if you are talking about nature, going down to the coast or whatever else, that works for me. But whether that will work for other people, and it might be a short-term thing that kind of might make them feel, you know, better for a day or whatever else. Yeah. But each individual person has got to start that battle from inside themselves. Yeah. Does that make sense? And I think just being there for someone is the most you can do. And I think, you know, as much as, sorry, I'm waffling.
No, go ahead.
As much as mental health is, like I said, such a big topic, the people that suffer with mental health, it's very hard on people around them as well, because you always want to try and do as much as you can and try and get people out of this. And I wish I'd done this, and I wish I could do that, and I wish I could do this. It's not your fault. And there's only so much you can do. And I think a lot of people then start blaming themselves that they're not there enough or they're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. But actually, it comes down to that individual person to take hold of themselves a little bit.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's, I've equally grown up with, you know, mental health has been a massive, huge thing in my family. And so I seem to attract men that are maybe have a bit more mental health issues because that's
all I... You're a fixer.
Yeah, exactly. But what I've learned through age is it's so goddamn important to come back to yourself and come back to me and what you're saying, you know, like you want to fix, I want to fix, we want to make it better. But if you're not stable, so if I'm not good, my partner's not going to be good. So I have to, it might feel selfish at the times, but pull myself away sometimes to recenter, realign, go for a walk, drive to the coast, whatever it is, do a bit of me to then be able to have the energy to help that person.
Yes.
It's challenging.
Completely and utterly agree with you. And I think when we had Lucy Spraggan on, she said a similar sort of thing about self-love and being selfish sometimes. Yeah. And as much as you can't help anyone unless they want to help themselves, you also can't help anyone unless you help yourself. Mm-hmm. It works both, kind of both ways. You have to be in a position where you are in the right frame of mind to be able to deal with life as a whole, but also by taking on other people's problems as well. You have to, it's a really tricky thing, isn't it?
100%. Our guest is here. Our guest has arrived, Callum.
Fabulous.
Best. So let's bring on Callum. Callum is, if you don't know, he's a TV personality who's appeared on Celebrity Love Island, Big Brother, Celebs Go Dating and X on the Beach.
The only man that has done more dating shows than me.
Let's bring him on.
Let's do it. Here
Hello.
He is.
There we are. How are you guys?
Good. What we want to do is start with some quick fire questions just to warm you up, if that's okay. So Let's we're looking for snappy answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Pete, go first. You get it.
Right, Callum, date night in or date night out?
In.
Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Ooh, tricky one. Meeting in person.
Dream job or dream partner?
Oh man, I'm so job focused, I'd have to say job.
My guy.
Chat up line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point.
Big spoon or little spoon?
Oh, fucking hell, could you imagine if I said little spoon, mate? I'd like to be on the receiving end. No, yeah, big spoon.
And single or taken?
Taken.
Nice.
I like that warm up. Good questions, team. Good question.
Do you know what everyone stumbles on is that dream job or dream partner? Because it's like when you're with someone, you're like, ah, oh, what do I say? I don't want to offend. But at the same time, like, good.
It's good, that one, though, because, you know, I get that question. I've been single for a long time, and I'm a big believer in energies and where you channel your focus and your energy. And so much of my focus has been towards work that you don't even focus the energy into a partner because you get so caught up in, like, creating this support system for everyone. So I'm a big believer wherever you channel the energy is what is going to come up. And I'm very business focused. So that was the answer.
100%. Love that. So Callum, you are a big advocate in the mental health world. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So for me on a personal level, it came about through my experiences with alcohol in my family. It wasn't something that I knew much about when it comes to mental health and the certain things that come with it. But what I found, it's a long story, this one. I don't think we have enough time for it. But overall, going through certain traumatic experiences in my life that had to do with alcohol in my family, I found healing from that by openly speaking about these things. And openly speaking about these things, I found a lot of passion and purpose. So I thought to myself, if this is going to reward me how it does both in my mind and my body and my soul, then it must do the same for other people. So I started to use my platform to openly speak about these issues and these troubles and let people know they weren't alone. I know it's said by many, many people, but it was very rewarding for me in many ways because it helped me and I got a lot of feedback from other people because obviously drinking culture is massive in the UK as it is anywhere in the world. But off the back of it, it just became something I really enjoyed doing. So I started openly speaking about it on chat shows and podcasts and in a book in certain areas. And, you know, I've spent the past probably 12 years working for this specific charity that helps kids and helps young adults know that it's okay to open up and speak out. And the message what was most important for me was to let people know that somebody of my age comes from generation of keeping things proper closed off. You're supposed to just shut up and deal with it. You know, my old man and his old man, it was like, sitting at the bar, having a whiskey, no questions asked. I love doing those things, don't get me wrong. But if I hadn't have opened up and spoke about it, I would have been quite traumatized for quite a long time. So I just want to share that goodness with other people.
Would you say that's something as you've got older, you've learned? Because, you know, we've had this kind of discussion before with Cece, and I'm a similar sort of thing. I was always told, you know, as a guy, listen, you know, get on with it. You'll be fine. Guys, don't cry. Guys, don't do this. You just go out, you get on with it. You tell everyone you're right. Anyone says you're right. Yeah, of course, I'm all right. Nothing wrong with you. And then it's really been the last few years that you start realizing, actually, that's not a... it's not a good place to be when you're doing that. When you're burying your head in the sand, you start just taking on more things. You end up drinking more. You end up doing whatever else, and you end up snowballing all your problems into one big, big, big problem until it comes to a crescendo, where then you have to let everything out. Was there something that happened that kind of made you start talking about things? Because I'm guessing you haven't done that your whole life. It's something that's been maybe, like you say, in the last 5-10 years, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, bro. We've known each other for a long time. It definitely wasn't the case 10, 15 years ago.
I didn't want to say that, Callum, but yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I think when you get a little bit older, you get a bit of comfort and you become a bit more confident in who you are and what you're about, then you can openly speak about these things. Like sometimes when I think about how I openly speak about spirituality 15 years ago or even 8 years ago, I might have thought it inside, but I wouldn't have said it outwards because I'd have been like, people would have been thinking, what the hell is this dude on about, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe at a younger age, you might not have the confidence to do it. And I've been through that. You know, you lack self-belief. You don't know if anybody's going to take you serious or any of those things. But I think that the turning point for me was just hitting a low, you know, going through certain things. I mean, I've had a very blessed life, but sometimes in life, people have a trauma or they have that one thing that happens that just fucking checks them. And you go, okay, now's the time to make some changes because you can't keep going that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, obviously, this is the dating show. So what's it like, or have you ever had to be with a partner who has got mental health problems or issues where you've had to support or notice them things? How do you deal with that?
I mean, not that I openly know about. It's funny because I know today we do a truth and lies game. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I actually was thinking to myself, I saw some meme the other day and it was like dating now is like when you meet someone, you say to him, can you tell me what your past trauma is? And if you've got any,
wow.
You know what I mean? But me, no, I'm not about that, Lou. I take people how they come. I'm open for anything. I like to think of myself as quite a good energy, good vibe person. So if anybody was ever struggling, I would want them to come to me. I actually really enjoy that stuff, Pete. I enjoy if people come to me with an issue or a trouble or a problem because, I mean, we've all three of us, I'm sure, have lived crazy lives. But when you can utilize your life skills as such to help benefit the next human, what better thing is that in the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you consider yourself a bit of an empath, yeah?
Yeah, without a doubt, mate.
Yeah, I can feel that, yeah.
So when you're, say, I mean, you've obviously said you're taken out, but when you were dating, when you would arrive at the date, you know, there's always this thing about how much you tell someone, how much you don't on the first date, like how much you give when you still want to keep a little bit for yourself, but then you want to let them know who you are. And it's a bit of a minefield. What's the level for you? What do you sort of know, like, I'm going to share this part of me and not maybe this part? How do you manage that?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a strange one, I think. I've been around for a long time and a lot of my stuff has been shared. So I feel like I'm kind of an open book in that perspective, but I do keep a lot. I'm very good at giving advice, but I don't use it myself, right? Yeah. And I did a show one time. I did a show in the States called Famously Single for E! Entertainment. And I remember I was with these celebrities, as cheesy as we all sound saying that shit, but that's what it was. It was like people from different industries and none of them knew who I was. I was the only UK or European guy there. And one of the challenges was a date, right? A blind date. So I went to meet this girl who I've never met. And one of the other celebs, who's a well-known musician, she had to tell me what to say through the date. So my date sits in front of me. And within like 4 minutes of her sitting down, I've told her about how I had alcohol in the family and I went through this and I went through that. And she got on the microphone. She was like, whoa, slow down. You don't have to tell her all that stuff. And it checked me. It made me go like, I thought that was actually quite normal.
Wow, amazing.
I don't want to waste, I mean this with all due respect, I don't want to waste that person's time or mine. And I feel like the more open and the more straight to the point you can be, I think the better it is.
So, Callum, if you haven't had sort of a partner with mental health problems, what have you done? Like, what tools have you got that you would say help you? If you could pick three things that you do daily, weekly, to support that.
I mean, you know what? I have in the past had a partner like that is dealing with certain things, but I've never known. I've never really thought to ask, strangely enough. You know, you become, the more and more you become aware, the more you might think to yourself now, to anybody who's listening, ask if you see it. You know, that would be a really, really good piece of advice. But for me on a personal level, I think I just reached a point where I just said to myself, like, you deserve better than this. And again, my spiritual side, it was as soon as I opened myself up to that thought, the universe started working with me and started placing things in front of me that were on a better path for me. You know, I remember walking down this river one time with my mom when I was like really, really bad. And I made this conscious decision in my head to say, no, now is the turning point. Like, I'm 27, 28, 29, dark place. Don't want to go any further than this. And all of a sudden, like 2 days later, this opportunity to make this documentary about children living with alcoholics. And that's when I went, if I tune myself in, I'll see this stuff. And that's, I'm a massive, massive believer in that. And once you start to, this is just my take, when you believe in the energies and you put the output and the input and the karma and all of these things, you start practicing these and understanding them a bit more, then your life will change, you know? And there's little things, like, as cheesy as it sounds to many people when they say yoga and meditation and journaling, they're there for a reason. You know, you set goals for a reason. You believe in these things because they have a track record of helping people get through certain things. Yeah. Luckily, now I'm at a place where I genuinely have convinced myself nothing can beat me. And I thrive myself on that. That's why I like passing the message on with the charity work.
And I think that's something for people listening who probably think, oh, well, it sounds very easy to say that. That's something that you've worked on for a long time to get to a point where you can say nothing can beat me. It's not something you can just pick up one day. So anyone listening, it's not something that just happens. It's a process of learning and evolving yourself and learning about yourself to get you to that position, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. And it is that case. I think sometimes, you know, when you do these things and we're here and we're having some lighthearted fun and a question comes up, I don't know if it happens to you guys, but sometimes you have to track right back at a place you don't even really want to talk about anymore. Mm-hmm. You're like, let's talk about here, the present and what's going on in the future. But and for somebody to understand what it's taken to get there, because it's just like, again, it's just like social media. You look and you think, oh, it all looks fairy tales and butterflies, but I'm sure there's a track record. I'm sure a thing that got people to that place. Yeah. And sometimes people, it's trauma or trials or tribulations. And if you can conquer them, I think we should then let the next person know how to conquer them.
And I think that's why you bring up kind of social media is probably, social media is great. Listen, it's a fantastic thing that you can use for really great stuff. Like you said, with the platform to be able to get through to a lot of people, but also social media is the fucking devil. It really is the devil, because people sit and see other people's lives and see what people are doing and then start judging it against their own. And one thing, I've said it before, Cece, a million times, people are so worried about the destination they're trying to get to, they don't enjoy the fucking journey. You see what everyone else is doing, think, I've got to be doing that by that point. I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and my life's shit because I'm not doing this. And social media, I think, has probably had a massive impact on people's mental health, the bigger it's got. In the same respect, it's like a catch-22. It's also opened a lot of people up to be able to speak to people kind of like yourself, or seeing ways to deal with that. But it's a whole catch-22, because it almost puts people down but brings them up again. Does that make sense? It's a bit of a hard one. I've got a love-hate relationship with social media. Personally, I mostly hate it. But
but it's good when people like you, you know, who have a lot of people that, you know, look up to you and see what you're doing. And as much as I know, as dudes, we don't admit those things, you have a great platform for that, Pete, and you use it for good, brother. The dog work you do, the veganism stuff you talk about, you lead by example. And if people can follow that suit and lead by example, then hopefully the good outweighs the bad. There's always going to be dickheads trying to sell shit, trying to make people look bad. But as long as there's people that believe in influencing well and with some good intention, then we'll always overcome. Well, I like to think we will. We probably fucking won't, but I like to think we will. Cece, what's your thoughts on it? Do you go onto Instagram and think to yourself, ooh, I want to be a bit like that? Or are you just happy in your own stuff?
We were literally just saying this before you came on. I think I reached it when Instagram got, you know, popular. I was at an age where I could put it in the place it needed to be put in. But I think it's really, really important that you find your, you find the people you want to follow. So you find, you know, if someone inspires you, follow them. Fuck the people that are selling the shit tea or the whatever it is we're trying to promote, you know, for money. Follow people that make you feel happy. At the beginning of last year, I unfollowed every single person on my Instagram account apart from dogs, because I had a habit of waking up in the morning and going on Instagram and I'm seeing Jenny from fuck knows where in, you know, some incredible place that I probably won't ever go to. And I'm looking at her Instagram at 7 a.m. in the morning. I'd rather see a fat dog dribbling, looking cute and cuddly, and that would make me happy. So I unfollowed everyone. I told my friends, don't take it personally. And it was the best thing I could have done for my mental health, because I wasn't in a place where I was able to put it in the box that it needed to be in, which was Jenny that I don't know is okay to be in Dubai, happy and all the rest of it. So I just had to remove myself. And now slowly I've started following people again. Jenny, I'm still following her. Yeah, whoever Jenny is. But it's, you know, if you know that you don't have the strength at that time, and that was at the beginning of the year, you know, January last year, January's a shit month. If you know that you don't have it, don't tease yourself by, you know, just do small things, take little steps to make your mental health better. Find the tools that work for you.
Well said.
Yeah, I agree. Right, Callum, I feel like this is going to be an interesting one with you. We're going to move on to this game. And I feel like this is going to be good, because you've done an awful lot in your life, mate. And I just feel like this is going to be an interesting one. So every week we do Love the Way You Lie, where you tell us three stories and we have to pick which one is a lie. So two truths, one lie.
Got it. I wrote down more than three. At first I went, ooh, what do I say today? is acceptable here? Well, but the pressure's on. I've got a couple. I mean, they're not the best, but I've got a few ones that I thought would be kind of fun to play with.
Okay, let's do it. So what, me and Cece get one question on each story, all right? And then at the end, you're going to tell us. So start with story number one.
So story number one was, I met a incredible girl. I took her to a really, really lovely high-end restaurant.
This sounds like you, so I'm going to say true.
I took her to a really, really lovely high-end restaurant in London. And then the bill came. It's about 600 quid, and my cards were declined.
God, I hope that's true.
Okay.
Next question.
Story two.
Next.
The next one was, so I met a girl on social media, right? And we built this rapport, not the strongest of rapports, but we built a rapport. And she's like, I'm coming to London. I'm staying at this hotel. Come and meet me. So I looked at the hotel, I knew it was down the road from me. So I get to the hotel, get up to the door, I knock on the door. She opens the door and it's not the same girl, right? And so I've walked in the door's closed behind me, and I've stood there and I've gone, holy shit. And I said, listen, I'm just gonna take a quick phone call. Walked out, did a runner.
Okay.
I have so many questions.
So story one, fine. Story two, let's call it catfish. Story three.
Ooh, which one do I choose here? So again, I met a girl when I was dating. We went on our first date at a lovely restaurant in London. This was before I preferred eating in than I did eating out, yeah? Went on our first date to London, and then we got along really, really well, and I saw a potential there. And so for our second date, I flew us to Bali for 2 weeks.
Okay, so cards declined, catfish, Bali. Cece, do you want to start with the questions?
Yeah. So if your car declined, what happened and who paid?
Well, I was rather embarrassed, but I said to her that she would have to, and I'd transfer the money.
Okay. All right. My question on that one is, did you see her again after that?
Yeah.
Okay. Question two. It's story two, question one, Cece.
Where was the hotel?
Chelsea, at the Chelsea football ground.
Okay. And how different did she, if she was a completely different person, what are we talking? Was it like a bloke called Dave, or are we talking complete opposite?
Might have been a bloke called Dave.
Oh, do you know what? Fuck it. We're going to change the rules because I want to ask another question. did you say to her, what the fuck?
My people pleasing walked in, like smiled awkwardly like that. And like stood there for a minute, assessed it, and went, just give me 1 second, I got to make a phone call, and bailed.
Oh, wow. And story three, Cece?
How many times did you go out before you took her to Bali?
Once. We went for dinner once.
Oh, just fucking hell.
I don't have any questions. Russian. I don't have any questions about story three. Right, I'm going to go first then. I think the lie is... I think the lie is number one. That was the cards got declined.
Card decline.
Because okay. I just feel like because I've done a similar thing. I went on, I took someone on a first date to Rome. Do you know what I mean? I feel like you're that kind of spontaneous guy that would go, fuck it, should we go Bali? So I think that's true. And the second one, listen, mate, you're a very beautiful man. I'm sure you've been catfished a fair few times. So I believe that's true as well. So I'm going for lie number one. Cece?
I'm going to do the same. Yeah, lie. I don't want it to be a lie, but I reckon it is.
Why don't you want it to be a lie?
Because this is so great. I mean, if someone slapped a £600 bill in front of me, I've had it with like a £200 bill, but 600 quid, I would have a moment in the bathroom, I think.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the truth is you're both absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell I could ask for a woman to pay for the dinner, mate. I'm so old school in that thing that it's just, you'd be mortified.
Mate, I know, tell me about it. I was just thinking, like, if that was actually true, I was going to die inside a little bit for you. Because I thought...
Imagine if I did it. Cards got declined, I was skint, had to make the date pay. No way.
You find a way. Yeah.
But yeah, so imagine this, right? So this girl, so I don't even know how we got in touch, but this girl got in touch on social media. And I thought it was somebody. I think I might have even made the mistake, but I thought it was somebody. And like literally days later, she's checked into the Chelsea Hotel and I've got there and I've knocked on the door and I've opened and I've gone, oh my fucking God, who is this one? And I thought, I really wanted to be like, why on earth would you not tell me? But I thought she's obviously done it for a reason. So I've gone inside and I've like smiled and it's been super awkward. And then I've just bounced, dude.
I can't believe that you smiled and went inside. I literally would have answered to me, what the fuck? It was a completely different person.
Mate, different.
Because listen, you know, I'm not going to make you and I sound bad, Callum, but obviously, you know, we have met people from social media and that before, and sometimes they don't look like the same as what they made you on social media. Some people don't, but a completely different person. I'd have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, the Bali one, I met this girl. I actually really liked her. I'd been single for like a fair few years. I met her on Raya. You know Raya, the dating app? Yeah, so I met her on Raya. We went for dinner, had a great buzz. And then I got a job in Bali and I was like, fuck it. I love that spontaneity, like you said there, Pete. And I said, let's go. We got there and she didn't appreciate a goddamn second of it. Yeah. I remember there was one moment where it was actually her birthday. One of the days we were there and I didn't know that. And we were with this group and this cake came out and like, I went to film it and she literally turned to me and went, don't film this. And in my head, I went, is that because she's ashamed to be with me? Or just because she didn't want someone to know that she was in Bali? If she watches this, I'll laugh my ass off. So we got back to London and then after that, it kind of fizzled away. But I thought, you know what? It was a nice little romantic trip for a minute. And that was that.
Yeah, but life's about them sort of experiences. I love that kind of spontaneity. Do you know what I mean? You do things because you think it's the right thing to do at the time. And whether it's a mistake or not, you did it because you thought it was the right thing to do. And I love that.
Yeah, you need to be appreciated for it. My God, that's amazing. Like, that is amazing.
Yeah, if you want to take Cece or I to Bali at any point, mate, that would be really spontaneous. You come on the radio show and we all fuck off. Right, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always. Hopefully, now that everything's open, I will catch up with you soon and bump into you for a little beer.
Without a doubt. I just want to say, both of you, I really, really enjoyed this. If you ever want me back, I'd happily come and chat. Cece, absolute pleasure. Hope I get to know you better. Hopefully we can all go for a drink together sometime.
Yeah, sounds great. And honestly, keep up what you're doing, mate, because you're inspiring an awful lot of people and it comes from a really good place. I know that. So big love to you, mate.
Likewise, Pete. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Take care, Callum. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
I could chat about that all day long. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, do you know what? It's such a big subject this week. It's really hard to condense it into what we have as a show. But yeah, Callum I've known for an awful long time. It's great what he's doing there because I do think he's inspiring a lot of people to show, you know, you can come from, like he said before, dark places and make a go of things. And so if you don't think there's much more to Callum Best, like I'm sure some people read in the press, follow his Instagram because, he's got some really good things to say. And, you know, he does help a lot of people. He does an awful lot of work when it comes to mental health. Right, so it's our favourite time of the week.
Listeners, questions and stories.
Do you know what I've noticed? We are now 3/4 of the way through the show and we haven't once.
Oh, never stayed. Oh, God.
I feel a little bit dirty.
I do as well. The guilt level over me right now. Oh, God. Should we start again from the top?
Okay. Namaste and welcome to the dating show.
Welcome to FUBAR Radio.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. We're going to have to get quite a lot in this last bit.
Okay.
So this is the listeners' questions and stories, when each week we're going to hear some tales from you guys, either a story or looking for a bit of advice from us two donuts. and this week, we've got a dating story from Jackie. Namaste, Jackie.
Namaste, Jackie.
Let's hear it. Let's go.
I met an accountant called David in a bar and we had a really fun evening. A few days later, we arranged a date in a restaurant. The waiter came and as David ordered his drink, I thought he was making a joke, but no, he ordered a Fanta Orange. Not a beer, a glass of wine, or even a coffee. But, well, if you think why not, it gets even worse. As we ordered the meal, he honestly told the waiter to bring him the tricolor pasta with tomato sauce from the kids' menu. I thought, blimey, is this guy joking? Kids' menu? Is this a prank? Unfortunately not, as it was his favorite dish and he was actually pretty serious about his choice. Is he 6 or 36 years old? I was wondering. Subsequently, he spent this whole evening sipping this silly Fanta. Yeah, he actually ordered a second one. I was really glad they didn't bring him colored pencils and a piece of paper. However, we had sort of a nice chat, but sorry, that was extremely odd and super unsexy. And I never went on a second date with him.
Sipping on his silly Fanta. I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. That is brilliant.
Right, Jackie, firstly, what a fabulous voice you have. Really enjoyed that. Secondly, you, my dear, are completely and utterly in the wrong. Let him live. If he wants to have Fanta, let him have Fanta. If he wants to order from the kids' menu, at least he's being himself, and I love that. Granted, it isn't the sexiest thing in the world, but that is him. And obviously, there was no chemistry there if that's not your cup of tea, but I wouldn't have... I don't think it's that weird. The guy just didn't drink and ordered off a kids' menu. He likes pasta. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I wouldn't have,
I get that it's not particularly sexy, and I do think it's quite funny. And I would have asked the waiter to bring him some colouring pencils just to make a joke out of it.
Yeah, yeah. My thing is, and I'm going too deep into it now, but I'll do it anyway, is if you're ordering Fanta, is that the kind of person, like, no, do you know what? I'm not going to say it.
No, come on, do
judgmental.
It.
No, I can't. It's just too judgy.
But that's the thing. We just spoke about judgment, and everyone does it. I do it. We all do it.
Nah.
But I don't, I mean, that's not the worst story I've heard. That's just a bloke's ordered a slightly odd.
No, you know, as long as it's not to do with like, he's like ordering at this kid's menu because he's broke and he's too embarrassed to say that, you know, unless it was something like that. But if he wants to eat his little.
Didn't even think of that.
Silly little Fanta, then he can drink his silly little Fanta.
I do get though, you do kind of, but this is again, this is a society thing. When you get to a certain age, like now, you know, over 30, like you go out for dinner and you're supposed to, you order certain things and should we have a bottle of wine and you do all that. When sometimes you don't even really want a fucking bottle of wine.
No,
you know what I mean?
That is the beauty of age, is that you can do what you want because you don't have to impress in that way.
And I think, exactly. And I think that's the thing. Like sometimes I'll go out and I've been out for dinner before and I'll sit there and I like to have a beer to start my nights. Do you know what I mean? I'll go on a beer, then I move on to the hard spirits and everything else. but yeah, I like to have a couple of beers. But sometimes if you go for dinner, I sometimes think, oh, I can't have a beer because it's not very... doesn't look very nice. I will get some wine. But actually, you know, fuck it. If I want a beer, I should have a beer. And this guy's obviously thought, do you know what? Fuck it. I really fancy a fucking Fanta. So I will have a silly little Fanta. So yeah, Jackie, less judgmental.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably not the sort of person who you want to go home with, just in case he puts on his Space Jam pyjamas. Do you know what I mean?
That's probably what she was thinking. I imagine the date all over wasn't good, and that's why she's saying this. Because if it was a great day and he drank Fanta and ate a small bowl of pasta, so what? You know,
exactly. If you went out with the man of your dreams and he went, "Can I have a Fanta and some tomato pasta from the kids' menu?" Would you go, "Oh my fucking god"?
No. You'd be like, "I quite like your edgy niche choice."
Exactly. You'd be like, "God, do you know it's one of the things I love about him?" Is that he's just so different. So yeah, I think Jackie, you just weren't feeding it anyway. And he just tipped you over the edge.
Right, should we listen to our next story from Lisa?
So I was very sceptical of the love at first sight. And after two long relationships followed by numerous disastrous dates, I didn't think there was the one out there for me. At 32, I was meeting people through a well-known dating app and was about to close the account and give up dating when I received a match notice. We got talking on text and arranged to meet a couple of days later. Driving to the day, I was already thinking this would be a waste of time. It would be a short date and I'd be back home in my PJs by 10 p.m. Well, I couldn't believe it. When I walked through the door and saw him waiting at the bar, I was blown away. It wasn't just his looks, it was his whole persona. I remember the feeling I had, heart fluttering, butterflies in the belly and slightly giddy. I never felt like that in my past two relationships or any other first dates I'd been on. We started chatting and we just clicked in every way. I couldn't believe it. This was too good to be true. So I decided I would drop what I feel is the bombshell. I can't have children. This was the reason for the breakdown of my last relationship and why some of the people I've met on first dates walked away, with them telling me that that was the reason. He wasn't fazed at all and said it wasn't a deal breaker. He wasn't looking for someone to bear his children. He was looking for love. And if that meant he found it but couldn't have children, then that's how it is to be. Roll on 7 years and we're still going strong. For me, I found the one. Am I happy ever after? I knew it from the moment I saw him at the bar.
Well, we have been now doing this show for a number of weeks and we did one on first love and all that sort of stuff. And Cece and I have been pessimistic as fuck, saying that we don't necessarily believe it. We've had a few people try and convince us, haven't we, babe?
Yeah. But I'm still going to say, I'm sorry, like, I still don't feel like that was love at first sight. That was just, you've met your person.
I feel like that is the closest we've heard to love at first sight.
Yeah, true.
In the way that she described, in the way that Lisa described the gentleman. The fact that she dropped that on a first date as well, and she went, 7 years later, they're still together.
No, that is amazing. That, like, put hands up to her for saying it and owning her stuff.
But his response to
and
that...
And his response, both, like 10 out of 10 to both of them, because that is hard to say, especially if she'd been hurt, like she said, her past two relationships had both ended it because of that reason. Good for you.
I think this is the closest to love at first sight that we've heard, and I think it's the closest to love at first sight that we're probably going to get. Do I believe in love at first sight?
Here we go.
Fucking no. But... I believe in the idea of it, and I do think this is, if you're going to say with this something about love at first sight, like the way she described moving it, seeing his persona or just his aura and everything else, that is as close to it as you're going to get.
That, you know what, I'm not looking for love at first sight. I'm looking for what she just said. I'm looking for that feeling when you go into a bar, because we've all had that, like, oh, yeah, yes, please be nice. Then they're nice. Then you drop a bombshell, and it's, you know, 7 years later. That's what I'm looking for.
So... why do you not think this is necessarily love at first? Why are we both still sitting here thinking, is that love at first sight though?
Because the feeling of love is, from what I have experienced, I think I've had a shitload of boyfriends, but I think I've only been in love once.
For anyone listening, that is a shitload of boyfriends. Fucking tons of them. Hey, the girl, don't fucking stop.
I mean, I'm just saying it how it is.
I love it.
And I think that, you know, even though I've said I've been in love, I haven't. But that there's the one person. But that was because it was created over a long period of time. How would I know that I loved him when I first met him? It's a feeling.
Exactly. And this is why I would struggle for anyone to convince Cece and I that it's love at first sight, because I completely and utterly agree with you, babe. Love is something that you develop, but that feeling of this could be the one and everything else, you didn't instantly look at him and go, I'm in love.
No, you go, oh my God,
because you still would have had them doubts. Love for me is something that you don't doubt, you don't question, you don't anything else. That is, I love this person. But when you meet them and you get the butterflies and you get everything else, you must still be thinking, God, is this the one? Could this be love? Could this be...
That's so it's not. Yes, that is the question. Is this the one? not am I in love, because love will come. Of course it will. That's the question. Is this person my person? I think I get on the tube and I think it. I'm like, is him? Is it him?
But
is it him?
What I am going to say is, because we've just taken that down a whole pessimistic dark route of horrible people who just don't believe that anyone is nice in the world. But Lisa, that is one of the loveliest stories I've heard. Absolutely over the moon that you're still together 7 years later. And it's the closest thing we've heard to love at first sight, even though it's not love at first sight. But it's the closest thing that we've heard to it. We love that. We support you.
No, Lisa, that is your story is amazing. And I really hope that I find that.
Me and Cece are looking for that.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about love at first sight, but I do give a shit about meeting my one.
I want my one.
Yeah.
We want our one. God, how desperate and pathetic do we sound?
That sounded really
wet. We want our one.
That's the wettest thing I've heard you say, Pete. And the thing is, I agree with you, which makes me wet as well.
A few weeks ago, Cece and I were out on our FUBAR night out, absolutely hammered over tequila, talking about this at one point. And I think we both sat there going, I just want the one. I want the one. We just want the one. And now we're sober doing it. We need to get a life. Do you know what it is? Yeah. Doing the dating show, it's made us realise that...
how wet we are.
Yeah. God. You heard it here first. Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman are pathetic as fuck.
Do you know, the thing is, this is the end of the show. I feel really bad leaving it like this because we've left it so wet. We need to namaste, clap,
all right.
do something.
What? Instead of just leaving it wet, what we're also going to do is we also, until we find the one, would just like to have good sex with people.
Yes, there you go.
That's better. So
there you
we're
go.
Also looking
Normalize
for good
it.
Sex.
Yeah.
Good regular sex, provided you don't have to be the one, you just have to know what to do.
Yes.
That's also what we're looking for.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to write a list after this. I'm going to write a list of every single thing that I want from a person, like the ideal person.
Oh, yeah, great. In a couple of days' time, Cece will probably message me that list when she's finished it.
I'll be still doing it next week. When we
pop down WH Smith's and buy another fucking packet of paper, babe, because I imagine that list is going to be long.
Long. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's it from this week on the dating show. Thank you to everyone for listening. I don't know why I've gone so radio. Thank you to
everyone for listening.
Yeah, DJ Dave. And next up, we've got Agadoo.
What we do want to say is thank you again to Callum Best for coming on and sharing your stories and your wisdom. And obviously, there is a million and one places to go for help, you know, charities, particularly Mind, Calm and the Samaritans. If you need immediate support, if anything has been a trigger that you've listened to today, then you can text 85258 and that will give you immediate support.
And also, I've actually used these apps before as well. Headspace and Calm are really good apps to help reduce stress and anxiety. And if you haven't tried them, and I know it might sound, I was one of them people when people said, what is that going to do? Just give it a go. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But give it a go. What's the harm in giving it a go?
Do, honestly, I use Calm every night.
Yeah. Also, obviously, mental health is such a massive, massive topic. So it's really hard for us to cover things. And it's just kind of our opinions on stuff today. So hopefully it may be something that's helped or not.
And on that note, we are going to namaste the shit out of our hands.
We are.
Should we do it on the three this time?
Okay, so right. This would be the day to do it. All right, ready?
Ready? One, two, three.
Namaste. Namaste.
Fuck's sake.
I think that was almost in time, wasn't it?
No, it was not in time.
Was it not?
You announced a few weeks ago that you don't have rhythm in... You said, what did you say? Horizontally you do, but vertically you don't. Vertically, you do not have rhythm, Pete. God bless you, though.
Well, I think that was rather rude.
That was a sort of a compliment, actually. I still added in that horizontally you think you've got rhythm, so I...
Yeah, thank you. But your eye was twitching. It always does when you're lying. okay. Listen, let's just do it separately. Do your best namaste for me.
Okay. Are ready? Okay. Oh, I feel under pressure. Hang on.
You are under pressure.
Okay, ready? Namaste.
Oh, that was very good. That was very good. Okay, I'm going to do mine. Namaste. Is that relaxing? Or?
Very high pitch then.
Namaste. Yeah,
very high pitch, very soft.
I just felt in my soft mode, that was soft.
It was, soft, Pete. It was beautiful. It was amazing to see.
Thank you. We're doing that thing again every week. We do it.
Don't really want to leave.
Yeah, we've had a week off, so now we're just making the most of it. So now we're going to dance.
Now we're going to do that thing, whatever it's called.
Guarantee everyone knows the show's over and they've switched off, and now we're just dancing. Yeah. All right. Bye, fuckers.